Tonight is Wednesday, January 8th. This is the Women's Gemara Share. We're doing the topic of Smichut Geula L'Tfila.
Okay,
good enough. Particularly on Smichut Geula L'Tfila on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
No,
thank
it's
you very much.
Thank
you.
Wait,
Rabbi,
let me get it in.
Good enough.
Scale.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay,
Rabbi. Are you okay right now?
I'm fine.
And your WhatsApp code, James?
I have a bad cold.
Coughing a lot.
I have a bad cold. What should I do? Yeah, it's just a bad cold. That's all it is. Okay, last week we started a topic identified as Smichut Geula L'Tfila. We saw Rashi's interpretation as to why there is such an obligation to recite the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and immediately thereafter to recite the Shmon Esrei, no interruptions whatsoever. And We also shared with you the Rav's interpretation and why the Gemara claims that during the day everyone agrees you have to be Somech Geula L'Tfila. At night there was a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said there was no such obligation, and even Rabbi Yochanan said not that you're obligated, but if you want to be a Ben Olam Haba, or in your case, a Bat Olam Haba, you should be Somech Geula L'Tfila. And the difficulties that the Gemara answers in terms of at night, we recite Hashkiveinu, the Kaddish, which don't seem to generate Smichut Geula L'Tfila. We do say other things other than Go'al Yisrael and write to Shmon Esrei, as we do in the morning. So according to the Rav's explanation, we explained that as well. And what I'd like to do tonight is to see whether or not this particular halacha applies on Shabbat and Yom Tov as well. And the reason why I would ask the question is based on the standard explanation as to why we have Smichut Geula L'Tfila. So who remembers it was only last week? What is the reason that Rashi said there is such a halacha of Smichut Geula L'Tfila? What did Rashi say? Remember chapters 19 and 20 in the Psalms? In the Psalms? What?
It says Hashem Sriva Goali.
That's the conclusion of chapter 19. The Pasuk reads, Hashem is my Redeemer. Tsuri v'goali. The first pasuk of chapter 20 is Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. God will answer you. If He's answering you, the assumption is that you made a request. So if He made a request, that's tefillah. So after Tsuri v'goali, which is chapter 19, you have tefillah, and as a result, you're supposed to be Somech Geula L'Tfilah. That's what Rashi said. So, if it's based on Yom Tzara, Shabbos and Yom Tov are not necessarily Yemei Tzara. They're not. Don't forget, we don't even engage in the recitation of Shmona Esrei on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We try to focus on, you know, more pleasant things, somewhat more spiritual elements, and do not focus on the burdens, crises, difficulties that we face every single day. And perhaps Shabbos is not a Yom Tzara. Well, if it's not a Yom Tzara, then the phrase Ya'ancha Hashem b'Yom Tzara and the halach of Smichut Geula L'Tfila may not have any application to it. So that's what we're going to see today. And we're going to come to a surprising conclusion that although we might say that there is no Smichut Geula L'Tfila on Shabbat, there is on Yom Tov. Yom Tov each and every Yom Tov has a crisis element, and we will see it by examining a Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah.
We do make bakashot on Shabbos.
So we do. Okay, so we do, even though we're not supposed to. It's one of the most difficult questions that people have asked. Shabbos, you're not supposed to have bakashot. But yet we do. Asking God, Kadashenu b'mitzvotecha, is a request. Right? And would say, is a request. Right, in Shmon Esrei there are requests. Sim Shalom is a request. So, there aren't any really good answers.
They're not personal requests. Like, you don't say Shema Koleinu and ask for personal thing.
Okay, but Shema Koleinu is not necessarily for a person. That's why it's formulated in the plural.
Yeah.
We're asking for everybody's. So, if that's the case, you could say that on Shabbos too, but we don't. We obviously differentiate to some degree between Shabbat and Yom Tov. Even if we make a Mishaberach on Shabbos for someone who is ill, what does the Gabbai say at the end? Shabbat hi miliz ok. It's Shabbos and you're not supposed to be crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not supposed to. And we just say, Shabbat urefuah krova lavo. And the same thing is true if you were to make sometimes people make a kel mole at mincha, but they're on certain Shabbatot you're not supposed to, and so some do, and they say Shabbati milenachem urgeula krova lavo. You're not supposed to be menachem on Shabbos. But, you know what? The Geula is going to come.
Nishav is correct.
When Ross was president, every time he would announce a
death,
whatever, he would say, Shabbat he is over.
No, Milanachim, he said. Yes.
Milanachim
ve, but there was another one. Geula
krova lavo. It was the same.
No, by a cholet, refuah krova lavo. By Menachem, it's geula krova lavo. Yes, he used to say that all the time. Yes, you remember well. Yes.
Connected at all to the
karbanos?
That we.
You know what,
Roy? In other words, tefillah is supposed to be a substitute for karbanos. Is it that we don't bring certain karbanos
on Shabbos?
Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah, you don't bring a nedava.
Right.
You don't bring a korban nedava. That has nothing to do with bakasha.
So
I know. Yeah. No, it's not really related. Now, so take a look at page number one on the left-hand side of this page. And he quotes the Or Zarua. Katav Or Zarua. Matzati b'shem Rabbeinu Tam Zecher Tzadik Levracha b'Shabbat Ein lachush lismoch geula letfila. On Shabbos, you don't have to worry about being somech geula letfila. Now, how does that impact us? If there's no requirement, we're still going to say Goal Yisrael and then say Shmon Esrei. It's not we're changing the order of the davening. So, what impact does it have upon us that we will not be concerned about smichas geula letfila?
If you come in late.
Correct. If you're coming late, and the tzibur is up to Shmona Esrei, so what you do is you start Shmona Esrei right away, in order to make sure that you have tefillah b'tzibur, because tefillah b'tzibur is defined as starting Shmona Esrei together with the minyan, starting Shmona Esrei, not finishing, starting Shmona Esrei together with the minyan. So if you didn't say Birchot Shema, so then you don't have to say Birchot Shema. You'll say them later. First you'll say Shmon Esrei, and then you'll go back and say Psukkah Dezimra, and then you'll say Birchot Shema. But if there was a halacha of Smichut Geula Letfilah, as we pointed out last week, that halacha outweighs Tfilah B'tzibur. And that normally you may not begin the davening, unless you've started with Birchot Shema. So, says the Or Zarua in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, there is no smichus geula on Shabbos. Ho'il, Dinafaklon mehaikra, since we learn it out, nafak means to learn it out, from this pasuk, ya'ancha Hashem biyom tzara. So he also adopts Rashi's explanation as to why we have smichut gula l'tfilah. V'shabbat lav yom tzarahu. Shabbat is not a day of crises. We somehow put all of our crises aside and try to focus on menucha and so on and so forth. V'chein katav hakolbo. And the Kolbo also, these are all Ashkenazic scholars, v'zeh l'shono, ein lahakpid b'shabbat b'smichut ge'ula l'tfilah, l'fi she'ein tzara b'shabbat. It always raises the issue about people saying Tehillim on Shabbat. Saying Tehillim on Shabbat. I just got an email today from somebody. They're saying, they have a group Tehillim, like lots of 80 women that comes to our house every Shabbos. They say lots of Tehillim. And they're saying it specifically for a particular person. Person's not doing well. Can they say it on Shabbos as well? So I wrote them, you can. You can't say it on Shabbos.
Isn't there a special piyut that you say if you're saying it on Shabbat?
Special.
There's a tefillah at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it says, if you're saying it on Shabbat, say these, say this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the beginning.
At the
beginning?
Yeah. Could be. And it also, it always places a difficulty if there is someone in crisis from a shul point of view. Right? So somebody came to me after the accident of Bnei Yeshurun. Can we say Tehillim on behalf of, at that time, both of them? Can we say Tehillim? And I said, I hear what you want to do, but we try to avoid, specific petitions on Shabbos. So at that time, if you remember, I just mentioned his name during the Misha Beirach, but that didn't satisfy that person. She wanted to say, we should all say Tehillim. So what I usually do, is if it's something that impacts all of Klal Yisrael, if there was a terrorist attack that day, and 20 people were injured, and 5 people were killed, Rahman al-Islam, then I will encourage people to say Tehillim even on Shabbat. It's just hard to find that right balance as to, on the one hand, if you don't do it, you feel helpless. You can't do anything about it. Not that we can do anything about it anyhow. At least you can daven. But if on Shabbos we're restricted, it puts somewhat of a burden on you. And that's what he says. Yes?
I just wanted to know, the timing of saying Shema, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, does that also come into play of which one overrules another one? Like Sibor or saying Shema on time?
Shema on time is a number one requirement.
That would be the number one.
Oh yes, and that will override smichut gula l'tfilah. Yes, if zman kriya shema is at 9:40 or about 9:45 this week, 9:40 something like that. So, what? Yeah, then it's going to start getting early. It's about 9:40, 9:45 according to the Vilna Gaon. According to the Magen Avraham, it's about 45 minutes to an hour earlier, but we always follow the Gaon. So, if the Zman Krishma is coming, then in Shul, what we do is when they say Shema Yisrael at the right after Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim, it's printed in the Siddur at the beginning. That Shema, we announce that we're going to recite all 3 parshas of the Shema. Yes, because we have to right. Well, you don't have to worry about it because you're not obligated to recite the Shema, but. At the beginning of the davening, there is a paragraph which has Shema Yisrael Hashem. So we only say the first pasuk. Some people even say the first parsha, but no one says all 3. But if Zman Tefillah is going to expire by the time we get to that point, let's say it's 15-20 minutes later, we will announce Zman Kriya Shema is arriving, please say all three parshiot at this time, and under those circumstances, we will not have smichut geula l'tfilah. For smichut geula l'tfilah, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema and recite the brachot. And in fact, I don't think I'm going to focus that at this time. I know I had it last time. I didn't get a chance to tell it to you, so I'm going to tell it to you now. Yeah, look, I have it here. Look at page 5 for a minute. Page 5. A famous machloikis, the Rambam and the Raivin. The vast majority of Am Yisrael during the summer months make Shabbat early. Vast majority come to the 7 o'clock minyan, not to the 8:30 minyan during the summer. Fine. So when you daven Maariv early, by definition, you are not going to have smichut geula l'tfilah, because you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema early. Zman Kriya Shema begins at Tzeit HaKochavim, absolute nightfall. So just think about when absolute nightfall is. When is it? When an hour, approximately an hour and 18 minutes, about an hour after you light candles. So this week candle lighting is what time? 4:30, something like that. 5:30 something is Tzeisa Kachav. Well, if you daven Maariv last night in shul, last night they daven Maariv 4:45. Nobody fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So we didn't have smichut geula l'tfilah. So I'm going to read you the Rambam and how the Raivid objects to it. Hamit Palel, it's page 5, Perek Gimel of Hilchot Tfilah, Halacha Zayin. Hamit Palel Tfilah Kodem Zmana Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato. Somebody who davens a Tfilah before its scheduled time, he's not Yotze, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. V'chozer umit palel ota bizmana. You have to repeat it and daven again. So take for example mincha this afternoon. Earliest mincha today was 12:24. So if somebody davened at 12:10, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of mincha.
Why is that not asked
at 12:10 anyways? Did it? Well, he thought that he could.
I did that this morning for shelter.
What?
Was it a 6:30 minyan this morning?
6:30 is not after, is not before the Zman.
Yes, it is.
Bidyeved.
It's sunrise. We reach Shmoneh Esrei for sunrise.
Okay. We don't paskin that you have to wait for sunrise to Shmoneh Esrei. Don't think that they did anything wrong.
It's barely
Talisman. So Zman Talisman Tfillin today was, I don't remember, 6:41. Okay, so then you can daven, you can actually daven 15 minutes before that. After Alos HaShachar, after daybreak, b'di'eved, if you're in a rush, you have to catch a plane, a train, you can daven early, you can daven it. So you were Yotze, don't worry about it. But if somebody davened Shachris at 5 o'clock this morning, okay, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. So you have to daven again. Same thing by Mincha. And he writes, V'im hit palel tfilat shacharit b'shas hadchak achar shal amor ha-shachar. If you recited Shacharit after daybreak, Alot HaShachar, which is 72 minutes before sunrise, 72 minutes, it's pretty dark, 72 minutes before sunrise, if you did this B'Shas HaDchak, because you had to go, Yatza, you are Yotze. Now the Rambam makes a critical statement. V'yesh lo lehit palel tfilat arvit, Shalele Shabbat, Be'erev Shabbat, Kodem Shetishke HaChama. You can, it's okay, to daven Maariv on Friday night before sundown. Sundown. When is the earliest time you're allowed to daven Maariv? Plaga Mincha. Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter before sunset. An hour and a quarter. So, if sunset tonight would be about 4:45, something like that, in that vicinity. So at 3:30, you can start davening Maariv. 3:30 in the afternoon, you can daven Maariv. Why are you allowed to daven after Plaga Mincha? Because in the Beit HaMikdash, activity of the day came to a close at Plaga Mincha. So for all intents and purposes, nighttime began in the Mikdash at Plag. They never brought anything. They were allowed to bring. You can bring any korban till sunset. But they never did. The practice was, it was done by Plag HaMincha. So the Rambam writes, even though I know you're supposed to wait until sunset to daven Maariv, but on Friday night, you want to make Shabbos early, you can go ahead and daven. Very few people take advantage of this during the winter. I don't know of anybody who comes, let's make an early minyan and daven at 3:30 on Friday night. 3:30. They're not going to do that. When do they do it? During the summertime. Very nice. Fine. But that means throughout the entire summer, we will forfeit Smichas Gula L'Tfila. The entire summer. For what reason? Because we're being Mikayim, the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. We're adding to the Shabbos.
What? You're saying you're
giving
the Smicha together, but you just said you are Yotzei.
That's,
if I'm Yotzei, how am I giving up the Smicha?
Because you are Yotzei Maariv, not Kriya Shema. You have to say Kriya Shema again after Maariv. So you are forfeiting Smichut Geula L'Tfila. Correct. You were reciting the Shema, but it doesn't count.
Because it's fine. You're just saying Shema Stam. It just counts as you're just saying Shema. Yeah.
We know why. I'll tell you in a second why. Yeah.
So there are communities that daven Plag in the summer all week.
Okay.
Detroit and Columbus.
Yes.
And
not only Detroit, they daven Washington Heights. There's a shul in Washington Heights. They daven the 7 o'clock shtick, 6:20, whatever it is, all summer. Not just on Friday night. Maariv after Plag HaMincha. Correct. Whatever Plag is, it's an hour and a quarter before sunset.
That was Sipit saying that isn't adding to Shabbos.
Correct. It does not, because no place does the Gemara actually say you have to do it only to what?
To add to Shabbos.
No place would say that. The Gemara seems to give you that option. The Rambam seems to, even though the Rambam says you can do it Saturday night too. This is even more of a shakaroo. You're allowed to daven Maariv 3:30 on Shabbos, this Shabbos. Daven Maariv.
But then Shabbos won't be over.
But Shabbos will not be over. And you say Havdalah in the Shemon Esrei. You do. You say the Havdalah, Atachan Antanu, in the middle of Shemon Esrei, when you daven Maariv, yes. Even though Shabbos is not yet over. You do it. Because you're allowed to daven Maariv after Plag HaMincha.
That's like taking away from Shabbos.
But it's not. You can't take away from Shabbos. You can't. What it accomplishes is that as soon as Shabbos technically is over, it's over. It precludes Tosefet Shabbat at the back end.
So you didn't make Abdullah. Shabbos, the second Shabbos is over, you can just...
You can do it. That's correct. Because you made Abdullah already.
You have to go somewhere like an emergency. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Exactly. Yes.
I've always wondered why you're allowed to say Shema. Like, maybe it's not a bracha about Tala, but it's like...
It's not a bracha.
Like reading, right?
It's psukim.
That's
why
I said
it's
just like reading.
So Rashi asks your question. Whenever we daven Maariv, should we skip the Shema? Answers Rashi, we should say it. Why? I'm giving you the quote. Kidei la'amod bitfila mitoch divrei Torah. Kidei la'amod bitfila mitoch divrei Torah. Translate, please. Translate. You should enter into Shemon Esrei having just learned something. We do this every single tefillah. Mm-hmm. Why do we start mincha with Ashrei?
No, it's a preparation.
Just to have some Talmud Torah. Mm-hmm. Ashrei is a Psalm 1, number 145. Mm-hmm. On Yom Kippur for mincha, before we start Shemon Esrei, we have Kriyat HaTorah. Mm-hmm. That's why by Me'ilah, what do? We say Ashrei. Again. We always begin our davening with Divrei Torah. And the reason being, the reason why we do so is, in fact, I said this Sunday morning at Tet Torah, the reason why we do so is because Tefillah is an opportunity to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. To create a real dibuk, a real attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no way in which we can become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through some of the, you know, how do you attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He is described as Eish, Ochla Eish, a fire eating fire. But when you use, when you study his words, that gives us a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Talmud Torah is. Studying his word. And when you study his word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels close to you, and that's why you can engage him in Shmona Esrei 2 minutes later. Yes.
But we were saying you're just skipping that part. It's not like the tefillah, you said Ashrei already. Right. Like, why is, like, I'm not.
By chakras, we didn't say Ashrei right before Shmona Esrei.
Whatever you said.
There's tefillah you said right before. There was something else you said.
But it's not Talmud Torah.
Not necessarily.
What makes Shema Talmud Torah?
Because it's a pasuk in Tanakh. Any pasuk in Tanakh is identified as Talmud Torah. Of course it is. Even if you don't, that's the difference between Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebiktav, you get credit for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even if you don't have the foggiest idea of what you're reading. I can tell you, lots of people don't know what they're talking about when they say Tehillim. It's not an easy thing to know. Tehillim's not that easy. Some of those paragraphs are pretty difficult. But you are mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah nonetheless. But if you open up a Rambam Menuchas Tefillah and you don't know what you're saying, it's worthless. You don't get credit for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You have to understand Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebiktav has value because it was authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Navi who planted the idea in his mind. Yeah.
Going back to the Lefichach.
Yes.
So if you say, if you make an announcement that we have to say all of the parshiot of Shema, because otherwise we're going to be
Mishma, right?
What happens when we get to them?
We say them again.
You say them again.
Say them all again. Why? K'dei lamod b'tfilah mitoch divrei Torah. That's the only reason. That's what Rashi says. So the Rambam says it's okay. He just tells us why I'm being so lenient about Ma'ariv. Lefi, third line, shetfilat arbit reshut ein medaktikin bizmana. Remember this phrase. Ein medaktikin, maza ein medaktikin bizmana. Not so careful. Exactly. So you're supposed to really wait. Don't bother waiting. It's okay. That's what the Rambam says. Ubilvad shiyikra kriyashma bizmana achat seita kochavim. You can not marv early, but you have to always remember to recite the Shema in its appropriate time, all three parshiyot. That's the Rambam.
Does he say it's
because
it's reshut? What is
yes.
The reason? Okay.
Because since tefillat avir reshut, therefore I can be a little more flexible.
As opposed to mincha.
Mincha marv, which are fixed obligations. Correct. So now you read Hasagas Haravid, right next to it. The critique of the Haravid. V'yeshlo lihitpalel. Kosav Haravid Zal. Aleph is Omar Avraham. His name is Avraham ben David. So he starts all of his comments. I, Abe, said, Amar Avraham. Ein ra'uy la'asot kein. It is not appropriate to follow Mr. Rambam. That all the time you'll daven Ma'ariv early and then you'll repeat Shema later. It's not appropriate. Ela litzorech sha'ah. If there is a compelling need once or twice, okay. Why should you not do it? V'halo tzarich lismoch geula letfila. You have to have geula letfila at Ma'ariv. And according to Mr. Rambam, you are forfeiting geula, smichut geula l'tfila, every single night that you daven Maariv early. Which in our communities, Rashi's community was that way, for because people were afraid to wait until it was dark. We're not afraid, but we're lazy. We don't want to wait 40 minutes every night between Mincha Maariv. People don't want to do it. And they simply wouldn't come to Mincha Maariv if you're going to wait 40 minutes to daven Maariv all the time. In Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of shuls that actually do wait. Here in America, hardly, I wouldn't say any, but hardly any. There's not one in Teaneck, even Bergenfield, that waits until the time to daven Maariv is on a weekday night. Never does. No one.
That's why the kids always said, you daven Mincha, has nothing to do with Maariv. You go back for Maariv at a completely different time, hours later. You never associate them together. You go, you're not trying to condense and go to shul one less time.
Okay.
You're trying to go to shul one more.
Okay. That's fine.
I have no.
Exactly. You're talking about yeshiva boys,
right,
like
yeah.
Your boys. Exactly.
You have a job, it's not so easy.
Yeah, of course, right? And you work the whole day, and you want to see your kids for 2 minutes.
Morning before you go to work, and then
right. Yeah. Anyhow, so the Ravid objects to the Rambam for davening early on a regular basis because we are failing to engage in smichut geula l'tfilah. Yeah. Okay, so now go back to page number one. So now, in the second paragraph, the Shagas Aryeh explains why we are not necessarily careful about smichut geula tfila on Shabbos. Not really careful. And he explains it in the following fashion. Not so much that it's not a Yom Tzara. Not a Yom Tzara is a consequence, is might be the ultimate factor. But as we just said, we do not engage in a lengthy petitionary prayer on Shabbat. We do not. We don't ask for any of the 12 middle brachot, or today 13 middle brachot. We do not. And one of the reasons why you have smichut geula l'tfilah is to offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu one of the ultimate praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by stating, we acknowledge that redemption comes about by whom? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And before you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our litany of requests, that's the ones that are lit in the Siddur, then everybody has their own personal requests, which we add at the end of Shomei HaTfilah. Everybody has personal requests. So, If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond affirmatively, it's appropriate to say something nice about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the great tributes is Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. And just read the whole paragraph before it. What did you do? Mitzrayim Ge'altanu, Umi Beit Avadim Piditanu, Kol Bechoreim Harakta, Uvechorcho Yisrael Ga'alta, and so on and so forth. And so it's appropriate. But on Shabbos, when you don't have the long list of bakashot, so therefore it's not necessary to have this shevach, this tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before the Shemona Esrei. After all, we say all of Psuki de Zimra to, I'm not going to use the word carefully, to butter up HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we make his requests. And we say it on Shabbos too. But Smichas Geula Tefillah was highlighting right before you start the Shemona Esrei. Not necessary, says the Shagas Aryeh, because we do not engage in She'elat Tzrachim, elaborating on our personal needs during the Shabbat. We do not. Yeah. Yeah. Now, please go for a second to page number 3. Page number 3. This Mishnah has nothing to do with our topic per se. But you can extract a conclusion from them.
Hey, one second. Before you switch topics, I just thought one other thing. When we light candles, there's specifically a Yerushalayim, which is specifically like on Shabbos, and that's totally like Bakasha. We're like bringing in Shabbos with a Bakasha. Just putting that out there.
When I light candles, I don't say that, Bakasha.
Purposely?
Are you recommending
no.
that we not?
I am not recommending anything of the sort.
I'm sorry.
I just thought about it.
It's a good question.
It is.
It's a very good question. It's a good question. Tehi Ratzon. Right. You lit the candles. You made the bracha. Shabbos is here now.
And now let's
beg you. Right. I know. I know.
Time to connect the Hashem to asking. I find myself asking more on Shabbat than that.
I know. Yeah. I know.
It's the same thing with the
Hillel. No, it's not. It's not to be. That's those types of things should be the worst avera that anybody.
Don't worry.
The worst thing anybody does is to make bakashot during hadlakat neirot. Uh-huh.
I can't imagine that Hashem doesn't listen. You know, if you're bekeshing him, he likes that. You know, I can't imagine he goes, "Oh, that's a personal bakasha. I'm not going to follow."
No, I agree with you. It's more from our point of view. I know why Chazal did it. They wanted to create a real difference between our mindset on Shabbos versus our mindset Sunday through Friday. If you're going to ask for Barech Aleinu, for your Parnassa, so this guy's going to say, "Oh, I just invested 20 stocks. Rabbeinu Shalom, please let those stocks go up." This person, somebody had to go to the hospital. Oh, Rabbeinu Shalom, please send them Rufu Shalema. Rabbeinu Shalom, please, let rebuild Yerushalayim. I was just there. I loved it so much. I went on the Har HaBayit, but I didn't see the Beis HaMikdash. Please build the Beis HaMikdash. Good. But again, we don't say the lengthy list. I know, we have other requests of Malchiyah, Zecharonis, and Shofars. I said that question, never a good answer. We have plenty of requests on Shabbos. But what we did was at least eliminated the 13 middle brachot, and they are never duplicated. Yes?
Is that the difference? Because on Yom Tov we have a mitzvah simcha, on Shabbos we don't? So
no.
Why?
That's not going to be the difference. So that's all the more reason. Okay, but I'm going to show you that Shabbos there will not be a Yom Tzara, and you won't have Smichas Gula Tefillah. But on Yom Tov you will, despite the mitzvah of Simcha. Give me 2 minutes or 5. Yeah.
Remember when those 3 boys were killed?
Yes.
The idea was we were supposed to, when we were lighting candles, they actually requested people.
Yes.
Before they knew
of
they
course,
were killed.
I know.
That was like a specific request.
I know. Sure. Right? Yeah. Okay. So take a look at the Mishnah. This is the first Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah, Arba'a, Arba'a, Roshei Shanim Heim. There are 4 days a year that are identified as a Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah tells us what they are. Be'echad b'Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan is like a Rosh Hashanah. And it's the Rosh Hashanah l'melachim u'l'rigalim. So forget about melachim, but the sequence of the Chagim begins with the Chag of Pesach, Chag HaMatzot. Because that's Bachodesh HaRishon. So Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Nisan. Be'echad be'elul is Rosh Hashanah l'masa behema. There is a obligation to take 1 out of every 10 animals that you have and give it to a Kohen. It's called Ma'aser behema. maaser, a tenth of all your animal stock. And you have to do so on an annual basis. Well, what is the determining day when you see how many animals do I have? It's not the first of Tishrei. It is the first of Elul. Why? That's why you have the rest of the Masechta. Not for me tonight. Be'echad betishrei, Rosh Hashanah lishanim u'lishmitin u'liyovlot. Okay, so let's just take the simple thing. First day of Tishrei is what we call Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Rosh Hashanah of years, right? Tovshin Pei was introduced on Rosh Hashanah, not on the first day of the month of Nisan. And which year we observe as Yovel and Shemitah is always determined by the first day of the month of Tishrei. Fine. And then Be'echad b'Shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. The first day of the month of Shvat, according to Beit Shammai, is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot. Beit Hillel omer b'chamisha asar, tu ba'av. Okay, tu b'Shvat. Tu b'Shvat. Now, what difference does it make about a tree? You know, we're not doing carbon-14 dating systems to determine how old the trees are. What does it make a difference? It makes a difference as to which ma'asrot you give that particular year. You have to give ma'aser from, let's say, grapes that grow. Okay? Well, are these grapes in the first year or the second year? Well, what determines whether in the first year or the second year? Chamisha sab'av, bashvat, tu bishvat. Very nice. Now, if something is a Rosh Hashanah, what imagery have we, the rabbis, Chazal, given to a Rosh Hashanah? Think about our Rosh Hashanah. It's what?
Scales. Judgment.
Yes, judgment. That is correct. That is correct. If that is the case, and it certainly is, tell me, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge on Pesach, on Shavuot, and on Sukkot? So the how much grain you're going to have is decided on Pesach. How much fruit you're going to have is decided on Shavuot. And how much water you're going to have is determined on Sukkot. It says Nidonin al Hamayim, Nidonin al Haperot. So they share a feature with a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we are Nidonin, we're judged, our Rosh Hashanah. But everything else in water, fruit, grain, all judged, each of the Shalosh Regalim. So would you say that Rosh Hashanah, when we are judged, is a Yom Tzara? If we are judged by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Yichyeh, Mi Yamut, Mi Bamayim, Mi Baish? You say yes. Why do you say no?
Because it's a part where a Yom Tzara would make it that we're assuming that it's going to be a bad outcome. And I'm not
going to know, but some people are going to be judged tonight. We know that. Some people are going
to get
that.
I know you want to.
I understand that. But why
would it
be... Why would I say that Meirosh? Why would I assume that? In other words, I'm going in there saying,
no,
I want to have a positive
good
response.
So how are you going to guarantee a positive response?
There's no guarantee.
I know. So what will you do? You'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. But you have to acknowledge that there is a possibility that I'm not coming out of this year.
But I don't want that to make that my the whole Yom Tzara because of that.
No, but it's not the whole day. But there is an element of awe, of fear, and that's why some identify each Yom Hadin as a Yom Tzara. If God is going to determine how much water there's going to be. So this year, in particular in Eretz Yisrael, there's just so much rain, it's just incredible. Incredible. It's just unbelievable how much. They said that at the beginning of the year, they expected to have maybe 50% of the amount of average rainfall for this year. They thought it was going to be another drought year. Right now, it looks like it's going to be 150% more than they usually get.
Wow.
What? Yes. The the what's the name of the river? No, not the Yarden. The one in the north, the Kinneret, has risen in the last week 22 centimeters. Risen.
So they don't have to do desalination.
I know that's what they say, but and it still can go 3 more meters. It can still go, and it'll be the highest it'll ever be, and it's pouring again there today. It's been coming down like crazy. But there are years that we remember where people came to the Kotel to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there was insufficient rain. So that's a crisis. If you don't know if you're going to have enough rain, if you don't know if you're going to be successful as a farmer, it's not as conspicuous today because the majority of Israelis are not farmers. But you go back to the beginning of the Medina, and they were, the majority of them were farmers.
But you need the food.
I know, but although only 10% of Israelis are in the farming, they produce 50 times more than they ever did. Because they have...
these Rosh Hashanahs are really for the people. It's not necessarily for the water, for the rain, or for the...
These are ones here, that is correct.
It's for the benefit...
Yes, no doubt.
Detriment.
And that's why some Rishonim say that there is a requirement to engage in smichut ge'ula l'tfilah on every chag, although not required every Shabbat. Not required every Shabbat, but required every single chag. Yom Kippur certainly has its tzara, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but even Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in judgment about whatever He's making His decisions upon, those have an impact upon our lives.
It goes right against the whole thing of Simchas Yom Tov. It doesn't work.
I know. I'm not saying that.
We have elements of two different things at the same time.
Okay, but we do. But we do. That's all.
Sorry, I disagree. I'm leaving.
With the stuff, sorry.
Okay. Yes.
What if it happens to be both Shabbat and Chag? Which one trumps the other?
Shabbat and what?
Shabbat and Yom Tov.
Shabbat and
Yom Tov. Oh, so which one trumps the other? Yeah. That's an actual discussion. And what do you think the answer is? It's a machloikus. Whether, whenever, that's correct. Where, okay, whatever it is. So some say, since the Shabbos, in a Kedusha level, on a Kedusha level, Shabbos is the highest level of Kedusha. Not Yom Tov, not even Yom Kippur. The highest level of Kedusha for our day is Shabbos. That's why it has 7 aliyot. Yom Kippur only has 6.
Didn't you know we say Shabbat, Shabbatot?
Yes. Yes. And the punishments are not as severe either. If somebody desecrates the Shabbat, Melacha, he gets stoned. If you desecrate Yom Kippur doing Melacha, you only get karet from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not as severe as Misas Bezdin. So, Shabbos, on the one hand, has the highest level of Kedusha, and that's why some say if Yom Tov occurs on that Shabbat, it trumps therefore it would not be identified necessarily as a Yom Tzara, and for our discussion tonight it would mean you do not have to be so mechulah l'tfilah.
But it's interesting because if you have to be, there's in not having to be, nothing has to happen. Do you know what I mean? So like this, okay,
no.
Really not.
No, just tell me what you say.
To say if on the Chag you have to be,
yeah,
just because it's Shabbat, so okay, so have to be. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
because there's no positive in not being Somek.
Right.
You know, so why wouldn't you just say okay on the Chag you have to be Somek? I mean, if you're saying there's a mitzvah for this and a mitzvah for this, and they contradict each other. Meaning, I don't know what you can, you must or you can, but there's no must with not being somei. Like, it's just being less machmir on something, right? It's not being careful about something.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you just say if it's also chag and you have to be, so you have to.
I hear what you're saying. What's the downside in saying that we won't be somech gula tefillah today?
Right.
Okay, I hear that. I hear that. Okay. Turn to page 4 now for an interesting question of the Trumas Hadashim. She'ela. Ha'omeid ben ge'ula l'tfila. Somebody's up to, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Ka'al Yisrael, and the Chazan is saying Kaddish. Should I answer, Ya'ane Yehei Shmei Rabba, O Kedusha, O Baruch Hu, O no? When we say, Smichut Ge'ula l'tfila, does that mean an ironclad, no interruption whatsoever? No interruption means, do not say Amen. Do not say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Do not. Mm-hmm. Or do we say, no. We treat the end of Goal Yisrael like other areas during the recitation of the Shema when this comes up. When this comes up. So this question you have to ask yourself every time you're in shul. And you're saying Shema. So can you answer Kedusha, or let's say the Chazan's a little ahead of you, so they're up to Kedusha. Or there's somebody who's getting an Aliyah, when you're saying Shema, and they're saying Baruch Hu, can you answer Baruch Hashem?
We should be catching up outside of shul.
What?
It sounds like we should be in the lobby catching up.
Well, who said that?
It sounds that way, because it seems like it's like...
Oh, I'm just saying there is an issue that has to be discussed. That's all. And I'm going to make your life complicated, that's all. Yeah. So... The Gemara, what the Gemara does is, it distinguishes where exactly you are when the challenge arises. Are you Bein HaPrakim or Be'emtza HaPerek? If you are in between Prakim, for example, I'm in the middle of, right after I said Yotzei HaMe'orot, so I'm in the middle of bracha number 1 and bracha number 2 of Kriya Shema. Once you're in the middle, once you're at the end of a unit, we're far more lenient with responses.
But then you start right back up when you're done.
Yes, go right back.
Okay.
If you are in the middle of a bracha, be'emtza haperek, we're a little stricter, and you're allowed to respond, but it's not as flexible. And again, in order to appreciate how did they determine this, they determined, they were not talking, the Mishnah never spoke about answering Kedusha or Kaddish or Baruch Hu. You know what they talked about? Can I say Good Shabbos?
Right. Mm-hmm. Someone approaches you.
Somebody walks in. Somebody's coming into your row. Yeah. Shabbat Shalom. What are you supposed to be doing? From the Gemara, we will extract about what to do for Kaddish and Baruch Hu. The Gemara's concern is, should you respond like a mensch? And the Gemara has two categories of people. An individual for whom you are obligated to provide an element of yirah, and for someone who you're obligated to provide a measure of kavod. Yirah is the highest form of my requirement to respond. Kavod is less of an issue. So the Gemara will actually say that it is, and there's a machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about this as well. So I'll just give you the bottom line. Bottom line. If you are in the middle of a paragraph, you're in the middle of the bracha, or you're in the middle of Shema, a parak of the Shema, I'm up to Vahayu Advarim Ho'ela. Somebody walks in and says Shabbat Shalom to you, you have to see who it is. Who it is. If it's somebody to whom you owe yirah, let's assume your parent, a teacher of yours, walks in, you're allowed to initiate the greeting. You're allowed to say, oh, good Shabbos. And you can answer to somebody for whom you have to have kavod. Not even, no yirah, but kavod. If you're in between paragraphs, then you can initiate b'pnei ha-kavod, and you can respond to anybody. Anybody. Meshiv shalom l'chol adam. And the Chavetz Chaim, the Rav quoted this Chavetz Chaim all the time, Chavetz Chaim says that whenever we allow you to respond, it's not an allowance. It's an obligation. You can't ignore another human being if the halacha allows you to say, good Shabbos, how are you? Can't. So here it would depend. If you're in between paragraphs, you should not respond. You should not respond. Unless to a person for whom you owe kavod.
Between paragraphs?
No, in between a paragraph. In the middle of a paragraph. In the middle of the brachot of Shema, or in the middle of a paragraph of the Shema itself. You can initiate a greeting with Nei HaYirah. And who is today Nei HaYirah? Again, a parent. So, and your Rebbe Mufa, the Rebbe from whom you learned the most, the majority of your Torah. Under those circumstances, you can initiate a greeting. And you can respond in the middle of a paragraph to somebody who you owe kavod. Any Rebbe, any Talmud Chacham, you can respond, but you should not initiate a greeting.
I think that's right.
Okay?
I think if you're davening, then you should not be interrupted. You should be focused and concentrating, and it doesn't matter, the person, there shouldn't be.
But what happens if they did? They come and they said Shabbat Shalom. What are you supposed to do?
You just don't say anything, and then next time they'll understand when you're davening, you don't interrupt.
That's, you're entitled to that opinion. But the Mishnah is against you. The Mishnah says, Meshiv, you should answer.
Wait, I'll talk to you after the Kiddush.
You should answer. The Mishnah says you should answer. Yeah.
In terms of davening, you can time yourself.
What?
I mean, what I personally do, and I'm wondering if there's any advantage to this, if someone says good Shabbos to me, is I kind of look up, catch their eye, and give them
a smile. Yeah, you're not. Way,
okay. Okay. So, again, if you happen to be in between paragraphs, between paragraph number one and paragraph number two, you don't have to do that. That's a nice thing to do when you're stuck and you can't legally answer. But if you can answer, you're in between paragraphs, and they said good Shabbos, you're allowed to respond Shabbat Shalom.
So you're saying that it's actually better to respond first.
Yes. 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 Oh. So now, the question is, how do we treat Gal Yisrael? Exactly. Or better yet, right, can you respond?
One unit, so therefore you can't respond.
Good. No, it's be'emsa haperek. It's in the middle. But it's not bein haprakim. Good. And the question is, if you're allowed to respond to a human being, what do you think about responding to Kaddish or Baruch Hu? Of course you should be able to. And others say, no.
HaKadosh, not get insulted.
Exactly, that's what they say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not getting insulted when you're being mekabel o malchus shamayim. You're accepting the yoke of heaven.
Right.
He's going to be upset that you didn't answer Baruch Hashem. But a person is going to be upset. And we don't want to have people getting upset. So it's a whole sugya at a different parak, a different part of Masechet Brachot. But that's the question that he asks. Yeah. And he answers, he quotes, of course, a machloikis, that the Gaonim say, you're allowed to respond, Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, in between Smichut Gula L'Tfila. You can. If you're up to it. And he says, look at the third line. Ein Licha Mipnei Kavod, Gadol Mizeh. Avo Be'emtza Yudchet Asur. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, you can't answer anybody. Anybody. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, because you are talking directly to the Ribono Shel Olam. So you can't turn your attention for anybody. But even Gula L'Tfila, he says you're allowed to answer anything because there is no greater kavod than saying hello to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time.
Abraham turned his attention.
Yes, he did. Yes. But we don't know if he was up to Gula L'Tfila. So...
Yeah.
Yes, he was. All right, we'll stop here.